Welcome back to Things You Learn in Therapy. And I am your host, Dr. Beth Trammell. I'm a licensed psychologist and an associate professor of psychology at Indiana University East, where I'm also the director of the Master's in Mental Health Counseling program. And I am back with Megan McCutcheon. I'm so excited that you said yes to come back again, because we were not done talking. And I kind of have a feeling that after this one, we may not be done talking either.
Yeah, so much to talk about. I was so excited to come back because I had so much fun the last time. And yes, we could have talked for hours.
And there's so many things to talk about. I mean, even as we just spent the last couple of minutes chatting about what we're going to cover today, I remember just thinking oh yeah, this is going to be another three episodes, because there's so much to talk about around having a baby, right? I mean, that's kind of right. What we talked about last time. That's what we're going to talk more about this time. And before we dive in, can you introduce yourself to folks, just in case they missed the first episode with you, and tell us one fun thing about you?
Sure. So I am a licensed professional counselor and a certified perinatal mental health clinician. So I work a lot with pregnant and postpartum moms and families who are, you know, in that stage of life having babies. There's so much that goes on during that time period. So I love doing that. And I was trying to think of my one fun thing, my one most fun thing that I did this summer was I went to actually the Postpartum Support International Conference that just happened in New Orleans. And it was so fun to get to go by myself and be in a hotel room. And it was really fun. So I'm always encouraging moms to, you know, take that time out for self-care and for themselves. So that was kind of my fun summer weekend away.
So you had, was it just the weekend, two nights?
Let's see. I flew in on Thursday and then I left Monday morning. I stayed an extra night to just kind of chill out and read a book and get some downtime. So it was really nice.
That's great. And the kids survived without you? Your partner survived without you?
They did. Yes, they did. It was great.
You know, it's funny, you know, this isn't really what we said we were going to talk about, but I love that you also encourage moms and dads too, but moms especially, to take a night away. And I think it is this, you know, this fear that the house is something bad is going to happen if we're not around, and then it's actually okay.
Yeah. And there's so much mom guilt. I was even aware of it, you know, even as I was on the plane, I'm like, I feel a little guilty that I'm so excited to be getting a weekend away. And then I kind of had to tell myself, you know, think about what you're always telling the people you work with. It is healthy for you to, I always call it, you know, recharging your battery, to sort of, you can't pour from an empty cup. So I had to kind of remind myself, this is okay. And it's, you know, it's so true. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. It was like, my kids were so nice and well-behaved that day I came back. So it was good.
It's like, gosh, I should maybe leave for a night more often. I don't know.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. So the last time we got together on your kind of first episode in season one, you shared a lot about kind of some different things that could happen for women and families during the perinatal period. And so can you just sort of remind us what we're talking about when we're talking about the perinatal period before we kind of jump in further?
Yeah. So when I'm using the word perinatal, it really is encompassing, you know, during pregnancy and postpartum. A lot of times when we talked about what we now call perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, a lot of times people were saying things like postpartum depression. But what we now know is that some of these disorders can also occur during pregnancy. So that's why we've kind of shifted to using the language perinatal. And there's really no set time frame. Obviously, you know, normally 9-ish months women are pregnant for. And then postpartum, a lot of sources talk about that being the 1-year period after giving birth. I like to say once postpartum, always postpartum. Once you have a baby, you've always had a baby. So, you know, if people are struggling with various things, don't look at it as in, oh, but I'm outside that 1-year window. It's very likely that, you know, some struggles started and may kind of occur without treatment longer.
Yeah. Okay. So we covered a lot of different, you know, those mood disorders and perhaps anxiety disorders that may happen during the perinatal period in the first episode. And today I'm really excited because I think this episode is going to really complement that well. Yep. And we're talking about communication during this perinatal time, and in particular, communication and perhaps boundaries with our family and friends. And so just kick us off, you know, what is something you talk with folks about a lot around communicating around this time period?
Yeah, so communicating during this time period is so important because we know that stress is one of the big risk factors for perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And so, you know, obviously if we're communicating our needs, our wants, if we're having those conversations with whether it's family members, our partner, medical providers even, we can ultimately lower that stress level a little bit and, you know, kind of get ahead of some of these different things that might occur. So yeah, I do a lot of work with moms around figuring out what are their needs and wants, whether it's during delivery, you know, during pregnancy, after the baby's here. The first step is really sort of figuring out what do you need and want to feel safe, to feel stable, to feel like you can, you know, stay grounded. And sometimes that's really challenging because I think a lot of times, especially for first-time moms, you know, we don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know how we're going to feel. We don't know what we're going to want to happen or not. And then even with, you know, second-time moms, third-time moms, it might not always go the same as it did before. So there's a lot to sort of figure out in terms of what you might want things to look like. And then really important for us to be communicating that with the people around us so that they can help support us. And that's not always easy to do. I think, you know, sometimes people aren't really great at being expressive, being communicative, talking about what they need. So part of the little postpartum program that I do and what I do when I'm working with pregnant moms is really encouraging them to think about boundaries and to learn some assertiveness skills and tools to be able to express what they need in terms of those boundaries.
Okay, so let's break it down. Okay, so let's just talk about the pregnancy period and then we're going to talk about kind of labor and delivery maybe. Yep. And then let's talk about kind of after the baby's born. So if we start with pregnancy, right, what are common needs or wants? Like I think about the pregnant mom maybe, or the pregnant person out there who's listening and they're like, I don't really even know what I need or want, to your point, you know?
Yeah.
Or the pregnant mom who is like, well, hell, what I need or want may change from today and tomorrow, you know, like we're really emotional. So let's start by just throwing out a few examples of what people might say are common needs or wants during the pregnancy period.
So I think during pregnancy, you know, emotions, hormones are kind of all over the place. And there's such a wide range in terms of how people experience pregnancy. For some, it's like, yeah, I'm pregnant. I feel normal. It's great. For other people, you know, they feel like crap. For me, I felt like it was like a 9-month hangover.
Yeah.
And that can be really hard. And there needs to be communication with the people in your life about how you're feeling. You know, for some people, there can be some tension in the relationship. If the partner's not really understanding how mom's feeling, you know, what's going on there. And so just being able to say and to communicate, you know, I don't feel well. Here's how I need you to help me. We aren't always good at that, of being able to, you know, we kind of expect our partners sometimes to be mind readers and to just sort of pick up the slack. So I've had to help women, you know, through thinking about, okay, well, what would make your life a little easier? Is it having your spouse help with the grocery shopping in the cooking? Is it having your spouse take the older children to school so that you can sleep in the morning? Whatever that might look like. And, you know, obviously that's going to be different for every person, but just helping to take a step back from, oh, I'm feeling so overwhelmed or I'm feeling so miserable and uncomfortable, and thinking, okay, well, what are some tangible steps we can take to make a shift and to change this? And how can we communicate that to the people in your life who need to help you with that? Sometimes it's around career too. You know, some women, it's such an awkward thing because in that first trimester, that's usually when we're not telling people that we're pregnant. You know, because there is that risk of miscarriage and whatnot. But that's often when people feel the worst. And so it's really hard to figure out, how do I ask for what I need at work? If it's things like taking some time off or coming in a little later. So just really, yeah, again, just thinking about, what do you need to feel a little bit more stable? And how can we find ways to get the other people in your life on board with helping support you in that.
I love that. And I think about the mom who, yeah, it's almost like a daily check-in. You know, I had some weeks in the middle where I felt like pretty good, but I was like you, I just sort of felt like low level nauseous.
Yeah.
And I think for me, you know, my spouse, my partner just really struggled to know what to do because I was so out of the norm. You know, I'm usually up and I'm doing things. And so I think back to those days where I think he just wanted to help me, you know, he didn't want me to feel bad, but he didn't know what to do.
Didn't know how.
He didn't know what to do, you know? And in some ways, I didn't know exactly what to tell him because I knew there wasn't much that was going to make me feel better. And I even think about how do we help moms just sort of say, I don't really need you to fix it. I just want you to kind of be in it.
Just
you know
there.
What I mean?
Yeah. It's funny because as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, I hope there might be some partners listening to this who can have that takeaway that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a problem solver. It's all about just validating, just giving your partner a hug, just saying, hey, I know this is tough. I appreciate you doing this, carrying our baby. I'm here for you. I know it's not easy. So sometimes all that is just needing some validation. And so that's another thing that I work a lot with my clients on is just being able to almost preface your, you know, your complaints or, you know, when you need to talk to your spouse about, I'm feeling like crap, just being able to preface it with like, hey, listen, I just really want a hug and I just want you to listen. I'm not asking you to do anything because I know, you know, there's a lot of partners out there who are very, you know, solution focused and they want to help and they want to solve things. And so then, I mean, this has happened in my relationship before where it's like, my husband doesn't know exactly how to help me. And so he kind of shuts down and then, you know, it's just that the communication isn't great. So we've really kind of learned to be able to say, listen, I just need you to listen to this and you don't have to fix it. I know you can't, I know this is just something we're going to have to deal with, you know, the nausea and whatnot. And I just need you to be like, yeah, I see this. I see how miserable you are and I get it. And I'm sorry, I can't do anything, but I'm here for you.
I love that example, especially, you know, I like to, you know, try to give folks some specific examples. So even as you were there, you know, talking about that, it's like validation of saying, yeah, I mean, you're pregnant and you're growing a baby and, you know, I don't know what that feels like, but I'm here with you, you know? And I think about having permission to not feel well. You know, and to just sort of need rest when you're pregnant. And so even if the spouse or partner can say, you know, something kind of validating or even, you know, kind of permission granting, there's something that feels good when your partner like just gives you blanket permission, you know, and then reminds you like, hey, yeah, I mean, you're pregnant, put your feet up. What can I do for you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I would say also for women to give themselves permission to not feel great. Reach a it. Lot of the work I do is there, and I know you too, with Words Matter, you know, the self-talk that we have going through our mind, and there's such a feeling of guilt, I think, in motherhood. I think it just kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us, you know, end up being maybe like a little bit perfectionist and feeling like, oh, I should be feeling better. I should be cleaning those dishes in the dishwasher. You know, how am I going to manage when the baby's actually here? If I'm feeling like I can't get the things done, but just being able to say to yourself, you know what? It's okay. I'm pregnant. This isn't easy. I'm growing. My line was always, I'm growing a human. I mean, that's like a big deal. And so being able to give yourself permission to take a step back and to not feel well and to rest when you need to rest and to do what you need to do to just kind of, sometimes it's just getting through the day.
Okay. Anything else during the pregnancy period that we probably need to remind folks to have a conversation about or continue to communicate about?
Yeah. So I know this is sort of leading into the birth phase. But I think, you know, there's so much there to think through and to plan for in advance around what your birth's going to look like, how that's going to go, what you want to happen, what you want it to, you know, just what, how you want it to be. There's so many things, you know, people often talk about a birth plan. Yep. And I don't love that term because, you know, especially for people with some level of anxiety, a plan is like, we got to stick to the plan. We got to check the box. We got to do the plan. So I like to think of it more as a birth ideal. What would you ideally like to happen, knowing that there's pretty much nothing predictable about pregnancy except for a baby's going to eventually come out of you. Yeah. And, you know, there's not, we don't know exactly when or how that baby's going to get there, but we can definitely think through what we would like that to be like. And I think there's a lot of conversations that need to be had with providers. Some providers, you know, OBGYNs, midwives are really great about coming up with that with you. Others are just, it's sort of almost so routine to them that they don't really think to have that conversation with moms. And so I think moms can kind of advocate for themselves and really, again, going back to what are your needs? What are your wants? How would you like things to be? You know, do you want to have a vaginal birth? Do you want to have an epidural? You know, are you planning to give birth in a hospital or a birthing center or at home, and communicating those different things? I mean, it feels obvious that these are conversations we need to be having with our providers and with our partner, but sometimes, especially women who, you know, just are kind of more used to going with the flow, aren't always thinking through these things. And there comes a point where it's like, okay, we really need to start thinking about this and talking about it, because you'll feel so much more prepared if you have a little bit of an idea of what you would like to happen. Even things like, who do you want in the delivery room? Who do you want to visit you? This is such a hot topic for so many moms. I just was working with a mom a couple of weeks ago who, her in-laws are coming to visit now that her baby's here, and they live in a smaller one bedroom apartment. And she's really stressing out about, I want to tell them to stay in a hotel. And I said, you can absolutely do that. There's a big difference between saying like, you need to stay in a hotel, we don't want you here. And hey, we're just kind of figuring out this parenting thing. We're up a lot in the night. We live in a small place. Would it be okay with you guys if you get a hotel nearby? So many moms are kind of afraid to have those conversations because they don't want to offend other people. And that's just so important to be able to, you know, think about what you need and want, and to be able to say that. I know I just like went down a rabbit hole saying a whole bunch of things.
No, I think it's great, because that's where, I mean, we're headed to like labor, delivery, you know, those few days at the hospital. Yeah. And then, you know, however long after the birth when you're at home, right? Like, you just brought up some of the most important parts, you know, like, what do you want that to look like? I love this idea of an ideal birth, because yeah. I did have a birthing plan the first time, and it there was like negative things that happened on my birthing plan.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like, yeah. But so if we think about, how do we have this conversation around labor and delivery, let's say, if mm-hmm. our partner or spouse is nervous, right? Like, let's say they are nervous about the conversation. Let's say they want to have more people in the delivery room. How do you not become angry, bitter, but how do you have kind of this assertive conversation with your spouse when they're a little bit, they may not tell you they're anxious, but you just know they're a little bit nervous about this whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. So I think the first step is really creating a safe space where a couple can talk to each other and feel like it's not really a this or that, you know, but it's a, let's just both hear each other out. Let's hear what each of our fears, our needs, our wants, our ideals are. And, you know, hear each other first, because I think so many times, especially when we're anxious and getting ready to give birth can be a really anxious time for both partners. And I think sometimes that anxiety kind of overrides rationality. Yeah. And so it's difficult to really kind of take a step back and talk things through. So thinking about taking that step back, hearing each other out, hearing each other's point of views, and agreeing we're going to table sort of the actual ultimate decision making until we hear each other's point. And sometimes, you know, couples really need help in doing that. Mm. So they may need to work with a couples counselor. And with something like this, where it's very, you know, specific, maybe it's just a couple sessions of really figuring out, okay, let's sort of like triage the most important things here and get on the same page for this big life event that's going to happen. But, you know, it also might be just kind of taking a look at overall the structure of your relationship and how communication is for you both. we're bringing to our relationship so much baggage on each end from all of the different messages you learned growing up, all of the different things you learned about communication in your family of origin and your past experiences. So sometimes there's some untangling to do. But I think if we first think about validating and really actually listening before jumping into our own point of view, we can, because everyone, again, just wants to be heard and just wants to know that their opinions matter, even if we talk them out of it or we convince them otherwise, just letting them have that space to talk about what they feel and what they need. I think that can sometimes be hard too, because women, you know, are generally the ones giving birth and are, you know, it's sort of like, it's my body, my way. And to some extent, I agree with that. I'm like, ultimate decision, you know, is hers. I had a pediatrician who once would say to the husbands, it's yes, honey, yes, dear, whatever you need, everything you say is right. I'm always wrong, whatever you need. And I think sometimes that needs to be, you know, that's important. But I think we also need to pay attention to the dads and to the partners who aren't the ones that are giving birth and know that their opinions and their thoughts and fears are valid too. So giving space to it, even if we're going to ignore them in the end.
Even if they don't get what they want,
right,
we still hear. And I actually love what you said about coming to this safe space so everybody can be heard, not necessarily that we have to decide today.
Yes.
Right? Because mm-hmm. so many of these conversations may be happening. I mean, ideally, they're not happening like while you're in labor. You know, like right. they're happening right. weeks, before. Days, months before you're actually going to give birth. And so you have the space to say, we're not going to decide today. Today yeah. is about hearing one another out, sharing our fears, getting it all out on the table. And then tomorrow, after we've slept on it, then we can come back and try to make this decision.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And all, some of the things we're deciding might be a moot point in the end. You know, we never know what's going to happen in labor. So we can plan for this is how it's going to go. This is where it's going to be. This is going to, who's going to be there. And baby might have other plans and decide to come early. And all that's kind of out the window. So trying yeah. not to make it such a stressful, like, you know, must be determined decision. But I think these conversations are so important to have. A lot of moms have said things like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I stress so much about what stroller to get and never talk to my spouse about how are we going to, you know, what's the birth going to be like? How are we going to divide labor? How are we going to share roles postpartum? Okay. So these are so important to talk about.
Okay. So before we talk about, you know, okay, so the baby's here. One last thing that sort of came up for me as you were, you know, I've heard, and I know all of us have heard that whole like, happy wife, happy life, or whatever sort yes. of thing, where we just sort of, yes, okay, anything you want, I'm right here, I'll do whatever you need. And there's part of me that has kind of a pretty strong visceral reaction, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost like, actually, if I think back to all four of my pregnancies, there were so many moments where I felt so insecure that I actually wanted him to kind of help me in the decision, not just, yeah, whatever you want is fine.
Right, right.
I wanted him to like, just have an opinion about something. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was just like, I don't know what I should do. I don't know what we should do. Yeah. I don't know what's the best thing. I just need you, not necessarily to decide and have it be the end all be all, but joining and feeling. Yes. And I think it comes back to what is my actual need in that moment. My need yeah. is not necessarily you just agree what you're saying. You know, it's like, I want you to just join me in this.
Yeah. And share your opinion and yeah. share your thoughts because yeah, just being able to talk things through, I think can be cathartic in moments where you are feeling anxious or stressed. And I think decision-making,
yeah.
making decisions for me, when I had postpartum anxiety was a huge part of it. It was like, what do you want for dinner? I'd be like, I don't know.
This is so challenging. I can't think of one more thing.
Yeah. So I think this is a great message for partners out there to, you know, share your opinions and, you know, step up and maybe initiate some of these conversations.
Okay. So we're, you know, kind of following that same process, you know, identifying and really like pondering what are your needs and wants around pregnancy? What are your needs, wants, ideal birth, labor delivery, knowing like what I keep hearing you say too, is knowing that it's unpredictable. And if you're a person who really struggles with kind of shifts in a plan, then you may want to come up with like three ideal plans, right? Just so that you're not just in this high emotional state. You're in a lot of physical pain, perhaps, you know, you're in the middle of labor and things aren't going the way your ideal plan went. And you're a person who kind of struggles with like changes in the plan. What I keep hearing you say is try not to make it so structured that you are
rigid.
Yeah.
And that's where language is so important, you know, thinking about saying, I would like this to happen, not this has to happen or this should happen.
Yep. That's so good. And I think too, I really had it in my head that I wanted to breastfeed like as quickly as possible, right after birth. And this might lead us right into like maybe that right after birth and then the first few days, weeks, months at home, whatever that looks like. And so, you know, my value was that I really wanted to breastfeed right away, do the whole, you know, kangaroo care, skin to skin, as quickly as possible. And each of my kids were born via cesarean. And I was so, so sick for like 6 hours after birth. I was like, I'm going to throw up. I can't make it. And so I was laying flat. And anytime I would even lift my head to try to nurse, I would fear I was going to be sick. And you can imagine like when you've had your belly, they're all stapled, like you don't want to think about throwing up. So it was one of those moments where what I really felt needed to happen right now, I physically couldn't do it. You know what I mean? So I really resonate with this idea of, you know, not being super rigid, knowing you don't know what's going to happen. And so what are the alternative plans and how can your partner, your spouse support you when things don't go to plan?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what I was just saying about shifting that language. If we're thinking like if your belief and your thought is I have to breastfeed right away, I have to breastfeed right away, you couldn't, you physically couldn't. And so when we see a lot of postpartum depression or anxiety or even PTSD, it's because, you know, a lot of times women have these rigid ideas of this is how it should go. And when it doesn't, that's so dysregulating and so upsetting that it leaves us with all these negative emotions. So just, you know, rewinding in your pregnancy, if you could be having conversations with yourself and with your partner and hopefully with healthcare providers helping you and encouraging you to say, you would like to breastfeed. You would like to breastfeed right away. Hopefully that'll happen. And if it doesn't, it'll be okay. You'll breastfeed a little bit later. So just really not getting into that rigid way of thinking. So, you know, I do so much work around self-talk and around just shifting language. I know you do too. And just really thinking about, are we kind of backing ourselves into a corner with some rigid thinking and rigid conversations around the shoulds, have tos, musts? How can we take a step back from that and just let it be a little bit more fluid, a little bit more flexible? Because then that gives a little bit of leeway when things don't go exactly according to the ideal plan.
Okay. So this is perfect segue. This idea of kind of fluidity, flexibility, and what your plan's going to be. I really underestimated what the hospital stay was going to be like. You know, I'm not sure what I thought it was going to be like, but the whole time I was there, and I mean, anyone who's given birth kind of knows you're kind of constantly being checked on. The instant you fall asleep, someone's coming to check on you or give you some meds or, you know, I don't know. It just felt like I couldn't get any sleep, any rest, you know? And then we have folks who want to come visit. So if I would have known, I mean, I think looking back, I would have had conversations ahead of time with, you know, our families, our friends who we know love us and are ready to celebrate, you know, they want to be there for us. They want to bring us food in the hospital or whatever it is, you know, they have the best intentions. But I think what I wish was having an explicit conversation about this flexibility, fluidity that you're kind of talking about, you know, picturing a conversation like, hey, you know, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel while we're in the hospital. Yes. And so I'll have my husband call you if we're ready for visitors and we'll let you know.
Yes.
Right? Is that fair?
Yeah. And I struggled with this so much with my first pregnancy. And this is something I talk with moms all the time about. I am a planner. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to know what to expect, what things were going to go like, what they were going to be like, but I didn't know what I was going to want them to be like, because you don't know how you're going to feel. And so I had a lot of anxiety around this and a lot of anxiety around, you know, telling family members who didn't live in town when they could come. You know, I didn't even think I had the right to tell them when they, you know, I thought, and I didn't know what they wanted. So I ultimately had a lot of conversations with my husband around, can you have conversations with your parents, with your sisters around what they would like it to be like? And then we can kind of figure out from there. And so, you know, he was good about it. He talked to his parents. They're like, we would really like to come after the baby's born. So it's like, okay, great. You can come. So I really had to think through, what do I think I might want things to be like, knowing that there might be some changes. So the plan that we came up with was, okay, great. We'll let everyone know when, you know, labor's happening. I was fine with people coming to visit us in the hospital, but the thing that was so important to me was that when we went home, it was just the three of us, me, my husband, and my baby. We had at the time a dog and a cat, and it was so important to me to just have our little family unit introducing the pets and the baby for the first time. And so I had a lot of thoughts around it. Do I have the right to ask for that? Is it okay? Are people going to be mad at me? Are people going to understand? And that's where some of the assertiveness training work that I do comes in, where I talk a lot about, you know, it's on a continuum. On one end, there's passiveness or passivity, where, you know, you don't speak up for yourself. You don't stand up for what you want. You're not able to communicate. So kind of lack of communication. On the other end of the extreme is aggression, where you communicate in an aggressive, demanding way. And a lot of times people think in really black or white terms. Yeah. It's like one or the other. Yeah. And well, if I say something, they're going to think I'm, you know, I don't know if I can say this, bitchy. Yeah. Can we curse on here?
Yes, you can.
No, they're going to think I'm bitchy. They're going to think I'm mean. But there's a midpoint, which is assertiveness. And you can absolutely express your needs and wants in a way that is assertive and very matter of fact without hurting anyone's feelings. And so what we ultimately did was had a conversation with everybody and said, listen, we are so excited for you to be there to meet our baby. We really would love for you to come, but we're going to ask that it's just us when we go home from the hospital, and we're going to ask out of town family to get a hotel room because we don't know what things are going to be like those first few nights. You know, moms are breastfeeding. You don't necessarily know how that's going to go for you and might not want to be around other people. And so that was just the boundary we set, and everyone was fine with it. Mm-hmm. I had spent so much time being anxious about, am I going to offend anybody by not, you know, opening up my house saying, yeah, everyone, you know, there's couches, there's guest bed, come stay with us. Everybody was fine, you know? And so it works out, and we are able to communicate in these ways that keep the peace in the families and in the relationships. And when we're able to do that ahead of time and sort of get ahead of it, it decreases a lot of anxiety. It actually gets rid of the tension and the conflict and the stress.
I couldn't agree with you more, right? To have the conversation ahead of time about the expectations. And I think there's two things that I was thinking about. One is I had a lot of the same kind of anxiety. And I know a lot of women have had a lot of that same anxiety of, I don't know how I'm going to feel. How can I prepare both me and my family? And I think one of the pieces that was especially hard for me was if I would have said to someone, hey, yeah, you can come visit tomorrow or later tonight. But then later tonight came, and then I was like not feeling having visitors. And I felt a little, and you know, I think this is probably a deeper issue, but you know, like you don't want to let someone down by saying, oh, sorry, it's not actually going to work now. You know, like backing out. How do you honor that part of yourself and what you're trying to do in these first couple of days or weeks where you're like, I've got to be the priority. My baby and I have to be the priority, instead of worrying about other people's feelings if I've kind of told them and want to back out.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I have a whole assertiveness boundaries workshop. And one of the handouts that I use in there, it's actually from an anxiety and phobia workbook, but it's the Bill of Rights. And it lists all of these different rights. And one of them is I have the right to change my mind. And whenever I've taught this as a workshop live, you know, that one statement, a lot of people get stuck on it where they're like, do I? And so absolutely, especially during pregnancy and postpartum, you have the right to change your mind because you don't know what things are going to be like. You don't know what you're going to feel like. So you absolutely have the right to change your mind and to say to people, hey, listen, I know I said we'd have you guys over tonight to meet the baby. I'm really exhausted. So we're going to have to postpone, period. And that's fine. And the thing that I like to tell people is if they have a negative reaction to that, that's on them. That's their issue. That's not yours. You, another right you have is to not be responsible for other people's feelings or how they react to the boundaries you've set.
I love this. And okay, so I love that you're kind of stepping into this because I think it's an important part. So let's say our boundary does hurt someone's feeling, right? Like I think most people are going to see and honor, you know, your wishes. If you tell them your expectations ahead of time, they're going to be okay with it, you know?
Right.
But I'm picturing that one particular person.
That one person in your family.
Yeah. You know, we all got them, you know, that one person who's, you know, they make kind of a snide comment or they're like a little passive aggressive or, you know, some version of that. I want to ask you two things. One, how can we kind of feel okay about that? Or is there anything we should say in particular to that particular family member? And is there any way that we should prepare or kind of talk with our spouse or partner about this same particular family member? Thoughts there?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're always going to have those people who, you know, don't like what we have to say or don't like the rules or the boundaries we set. And, you know, that's okay. We have to think about the reason we're communicating boundaries and the reason that, you know, we're setting things up the way we would like to or need to is to protect ourselves, to protect our energy. And that's so necessary as a parent with a newborn. You know, you need to first and foremost in those first few months and that first year, you know, your responsibility really is to try and stay stable, protect your baby, take care of your baby. And you need to be able to be in a calm place to effectively do that. And so just giving yourself permission to, first of all, it's okay that I set these boundaries. And if you know that there's a family member that's not going to like a boundary you set, one of the things I like to talk about is what I call prefacing your boundary. So saying to that person, hey, I know this is probably going to hurt your feelings. I know this is not what you want to hear, but here it is. You can kind of try and get ahead of that. And then they're responsible for their feelings. And you can just say, you know, it kind of is what it is. It's hard. It's hard when we have those boundary pushers in our relationships, but we're all going to have them. And just trying to not let it get to you. Again, this is where it goes back to the self-communication and the self-talk is being able to just kind of divorce yourself from any feelings of guilt or taking on their negative energy as your own. Just being able to say, yep, this just is what it is. And I'm just going to kind of put this on a shelf and focus on me and my baby. And hopefully you and your partner are able to do that together and have these conversations and kind of, you know, sometimes it's harder if it's, you know, your partner's family member versus your family member. Sometimes somebody has to take a little bit more of the fall in terms of being the one to communicate that, but just kind of navigating that as you go. And it's going to be case by case. It's not going to be easy, but it's not your responsibility to keep everybody happy and to make everybody, you know, why are we so focused sometimes on putting other people's happiness above our own, you know, need to stay stable and grounded and feeling okay.
I love this sort of reminder to always come back to staying stable, right? Like stay stable, stay grounded, right? Stay focused on what you and your baby need right now.
Because that's not easy, especially during these first few months where your hormones are all over the place. You're not getting a lot of sleep. It's like the key is just take a deep breath, take it down a notch, push away all of the outside noise that's kind of, you know, picking at me when I already have so much going on.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can all of us who've had babies can relate to there's so much unknown. There's so much there's so many emotional ups and downs. You're sleep deprived, you're physically, you know, your body is still healing physically, regardless of what kind of birth you had. And on top of that, you're dealing with, this is what I thought life was going to be like.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't love it as much. I mean, it's not that we don't love our babies, right? But it's like, I think we can all kind of step into moments where it's so hard, or it's, you know, you're so tired, or any of those things that, gosh, you know, trying to communicate about that.
Yeah.
Woo.
And this sort of like brings it all kind of full circle for me, in that this is why it's so important to be having this communication, to be thinking through our needs, our wants, our values, and communicating that to the people in our lives. Because when we, when we're proactive about it, we can be in the place of assertion and saying things from a calm, assertive place. When we fail to do that, or when we kind of put it off, we end up building up this resentment and this anxiety and this stress. And then we're more apt to move into that place of aggression and sort of blow up with our messaging.
Yep. That's so good. Is there anything we forgot today as we kind of wrap up?
Oh my gosh. I feel like we could just, again, go on and on and on.
I know. See, we didn't even get to like any of those messages that you hear. I mean, I know we talked about kind of the specific disorders last time, but you know, this idea of expectations, particularly when the baby gets here, and how do I communicate some of those things that I kind of think in my head as a new parent? Oh my gosh, that's a whole new episode.
Well, I'll give one little tool for dealing with that, and then we can dive into it more in the future. I think one thing that can be really helpful is doing some journaling around some of this stuff. Like what you were just saying about having all these things in our head. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to kind of sort it out. So I'll always encourage people to, you know, sit down with a piece of paper, or, you know, if you want to type, open up a blank document and just kind of write out what your needs, wants are. If it's a specific person that you're struggling with, communicating with, write it to them, you know, dear husband, dear mother-in-law, dear whoever, and just pour it all out, because there's something about writing that can be really cathartic. Yeah. And we use a different part of our brain when we write than when we're thinking or talking. So sometimes stuff will come out and you're like, I don't even know that was on my brain.
Yeah.
And so if you dump it all out on paper, from there, you can kind of sort out, okay, what are the takeaways? What are the bullet points? Maybe you don't give them the full letter you wrote. That's just the process for you. But then you can go from there and think, okay, these are the bullet points that we need to have in this conversation.
I love everything about that. And I have the same recommendation for folks to like kind of clear it all out of your head first and then sleep on it and then come back to the letter and like highlight the pieces that these are the parts I really have to say out loud to them so they know.
Right.
And sometimes that's nothing. Sometimes I wake up the next day and I look at that letter and I say, actually, I feel okay now that I've kind of gotten it out. I don't need to actually have this conversation with them, or maybe I do. I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe I just need to take this and vent about it to a girlfriend or my spouse, or maybe I need to do some therapy around this issue. But yeah, it can really help you to sort out, you know, what am I dealing with here and where do I want to go next with the communication in whatever way that might be.
Oh my gosh. Megan, thank you for being here. Tell folks how they can find you.
Yes. It's always so fun to talk to you. So, and like I said, I'm happy to come back. We have so many more things we could talk about.
I know, it's so fun.
In the meantime, they can find me on my website, which is just my name, MeganMcCutcheon.com. And I'm also on Instagram. I think it's Megan McCutcheon LPC.
It's awesome. I cannot wait until we do this again. And I'm just so grateful for this conversation, for our first conversation. And I think about if I would have heard this when I was either pregnant or a new mom, or thinking about being pregnant, and how normalizing this conversation would have made so many of the things I was feeling. And so thank you for the work you do and for sharing with all of us here.
No, I'm so grateful to you for having this episode. I think, you know, moms are so focused on the baby registry and, you know, what do we need to do to get the nursery ready? We don't always talk about these things. So this is just such a great opportunity for parents to think about some of the other things they might want to be planning for in this stage.
That people don't talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay safe and stay well.